Anyways, good evening, and thank you for being here. So the structure of service tonight is going to be similar to last week for those who attended. How many attended last week? Oh, good. Okay, so you are familiar with the contemplative coloring of the mandalas as a way to help us become more centered and focused on the Advent theme. So this, again, will replace, for those of you who weren't here last week, it will replace our usual time of silence. So feel free to color while, you know, meditating, or you can simply sit in silence. Now the message, and again, I know those of you that were here last week remember this, but again, the message that normally comes at the end of the service, it'll be in the beginning. So I'm actually going to say it first. So it's going to set the stage for our Advent theme this week, which is joy. And our prayer form tonight is going to be Lectio Divina, which, as most of you know, is the prayer form that we typically use in Taizé. But I am going to be giving a little bit more of a deeper definition and kind of share a bit more of the meaning behind Lectio and then how we'll use it as it relates to the mandalas, if that works for everybody else. So I'd like to open in prayer if we could, please. God of joy, as we color these mandalas, help us to be still and stay centered with you. We rejoice in the good news of great joy. Allow us to set aside our worries and focus on your presence. We give thanks in all circumstances for you. May we have eyes to see and ears to listen. Amen. So again, as I mentioned earlier, this week's theme is joy. And the following message is going to speak to the theme of joy. So even amidst the challenges of our world, both at the time of Jesus' birth and now, we have good news to share. Casting aside the darkness of our worries and fears, we stand in joyful wonder before the manger and turn our eyes to the face of God. We rejoice in the promise that the light of the world is coming to shine joy into our troubled hearts. As Christmas Day approaches, we might feel overwhelmed, stressed, by everything, including errands and the preparations still left undone. Even so, we stay centered in the great joy of the season. Instead of giving in to the many activities that call for our attention, we choose to make space for joy by coloring mandalas, lighting candles, and praying. We embrace joy not as a denial of our struggles, but as a celebration that God is with us through it all. The herald angel doesn't say forebodingly, "I bring you good news of great joy, but the baby's life will be far from easy. He'll be a refugee in a foreign land as a child and will face condemnation and crucifixion as an adult." Well, on second thought, no need to rejoice after all, because he's going to have too much suffering awaiting him. Instead, the angel brings good news of great joy with absolutely no disclaimers. Divine joy is stronger than our earthly worries. Divine joy recognizes our very real struggles, yet chooses to sing praises anyways. In this season of festivities, gifts, parties, joy can sometimes feel more like a seasonal cliche than a sacred promise. The word joy is cheerfully emblazoned on Christmas cards, wrapping paper, and all the pretty ornaments. We feel tremendous pressure to appear joyful when, in fact, the holidays can be a time of struggle for many who deal with the realities of loss, loneliness, and deep concern for our future. But divine joy is more than false cheerfulness. It's a celebration of Emmanuel, God with us. God chooses to walk beside us in the fullness of our human experience, the highs and lows, laughter and tears, joys and sadness. Through it all, we can feel joy because God is with us. We don't give thanks for the challenging circumstances in our lives, but rather we rejoice that God is with us in those circumstances. Through prayer, we can rejoice in the midst of whatever we face, and that's great news for sure. God's will for us in Christ Jesus is that we rejoice always, even when faced with pain, sadness, and worry. Sadness and joy, they're not enemies, really. They're partners, if you will. When one partner dominates, the imbalance throws us off center and out of step with life's sacred rhythms. So if sadness becomes the sole focus of our attention, no matter how legitimate our concerns, we lose that balance. On the other hand, if we focus on joy without acknowledging the challenges of life, then the joy is simply superficial. Praying for the ability to rejoice and give thanks in all circumstances of our lives helps us reach that balance that we so desperately need in our lives. But even so, I experience really rough days when my ability to see the good and good news is severely limited by my really lousy attitude or my general feeling of being overwhelmed by my life in general. On days like this, I call to mind a joy anchor to help me regain a positive perspective. A joy anchor can be a memory, a person, or an event from our lives that has brought us joy. Regardless of how heavy our lives may feel at any given moment, I trust that we all have at least one or two memories of people or events that exhibited true, deep, genuine joy that can become an anchor amidst the storms all around us. We would each do well to reclaim the joy anchors in our lives that remind us of the light, that shines in the darkness. When that seasonal hustle and bustle begins to make us feel overwhelmed, let's just take a moment and consider this question. What holiday traditions really bring me joy? We can then choose to anchor ourselves in those traditions and let go of those that don't. For some of us, it's cooking holiday recipes, going to big holiday parties or gatherings, watching all of the classic Christmas movies, or even watching football all day long. As for myself, it's about playing board games with my family after a big Christmas Day dinner, baking traditional Italian and Polish pastries with my mom and daughter, and watching videos of past Christmases when our daughter was younger and would open the biggest gifts first and then scream with excitement because Santa read the Christmas list that she gave him. May we find balance between honoring the places of genuine concern in our lives and going forth in joy to proclaim that Jesus is born. May we find a deep and abiding joy in the simple pleasures of the season and stay centered in God's word. And may we be on the lookout for the angels among us who bear good news and tidings of great joy. So how do we stay centered in divine joy when the temptation is to let the bad news of the world become our main focus? We need to stay focused on the good news of great joy of Jesus' birth. We stay focused on God's word, which is a lamp unto our feet that lights the way throughout all our days. Scripture, along with the Spirit, remains our constant companion. But how do we read, understand, and experience Scripture in a meaningful way? This is where the practice of Lectio Divina comes into play. And for many of us that are regular attendees, I think we're all familiar with the Lectio Divina. It's a Latin phrase meaning sacred scripture. It's contemplative and prayerful, and it's a way to stay centered in God's word and enter more deeply into scripture. Lectio is what we practice here at Taizé, as many of you know. You focus on just a few verses of scripture at a time, so that you can slow down, savor the words, and seek insight from the Holy Spirit. Lectio Divina helps us to listen carefully for God's still, small voice as revealed through Scripture. It's actually been practiced since the Middle Ages, which I didn't know, and was focused on four specific elements: reading, meditating, responding, and resting. The Lectio Mandala was intentionally designed to contain layers that lead from the outer rings towards the center, addressing those four elements. Working your way inward, you'll color each layer as you move through the steps of this Lectino Divina process. So I have chosen, instead of having one large passage to read tonight, I'm actually going to be reading three different passages that center around the theme this week of Advent, which is joy. So as I read the scriptures for the first time, the passages for the first time, take a deep breath and listen for that word or phrase from the Holy One that resonates with you. And in the two outer rings, and I don't have the mandala in front of me, but the two outer rings of the mandala, you can add color and then write that word or phrase that resonates with you. So I'm actually going to... Passage is from Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 11, from the New International Version. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all of the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Romans 12, verses 15 through 16, again from the NIV. "Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited." The third passage is from John, chapter 16, verse 24, NIV. "Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." As I read the verses a second time, meditate on the word, words, or phrase that the Holy Spirit has placed on your heart. You needn't reach any conclusions about the meaning of the word or phrases at this point. Just meditate. Then feel free to move to the center of the mandala. This includes the four teardrop designs, and those symbolize the way we look inward and go deeper. Again, you can write it in the mandala in color, or simply just savor the words. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Romans 12, verses 15 through 16. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. John 16, verse 24. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. The third reading, as I read the third reading of the passages, please use this opportunity to begin a conversation with God, asking questions and listening for his answers. You'll see the grouping of the three dots in this layer, and that represents an ellipsis, which reminds us that our conversations with God are never ending. In addition, the lily design reminds us to turn our worries over to God and receive his grace. Finally, the center star calls you to rest in God's presence. And again, feel free to color. Then during the silence, you are invited to come forward and light a candle to signify a prayer intention or other understanding between you and God. You may also come to the prayer bench to receive prayer and anointing for you and another. For those of you wishing to give a tithe or offering, you are welcome to do so as you come forward to light a candle or exit the worship center. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior hath been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Romans chapter 12, verses 15 and 16. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. John 16, verse 24. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete.